I'm talking about a book that I'm working on, like a history of gay men in New York City from the 1940s until the 1960s. And this evening I'll be talking about one aspect of that, the intense involvement of many gay men at the time in different neighborhoods in the arts of various kinds, and how this actually helped shape the gay geography of the city and some of the life of the gay bars and that sort of thing.
Is it chicken and egg? We think of New York as an exciting, vibrant, fun city. Did gay people go to New York because of that, or is it gay and exciting because gay people are there?
Probably a bit of both. The fact that it was so different from much of the United States, more European than most any other American city, was part of what drew many gay men and lesbians to New York. That it seemed to be a place where people could reinvent themselves, could be a little more open about who they were, find large numbers of other people who'd migrated from places that were less open to social, cultural diversity of various kinds to New York. And certainly the arts played an important part of that. And in the post-war years, gay men played an astonishingly large role in shaping the culture of the city, which is ironic because that's precisely at the moment when political leaders in Washington and the press across the country were working hardest to try to demonize homosexuals as threats to the nation. But you go to New York and you see so many of the prominent writers and poets were covertly gay. Many of the people in the theater industry, fashion industry, dance and so forth, who helped give New York its singular reputation as the cultural capital, really not just of the United States, but of the whole world in the years after the Second World War, were themselves gay.
And yes, we think so often of gay men and women involved in the arts. Is it just a stereotype?
Well, of course, the first thing to say is that by no means were all gay men or women involved in the arts. It was still a singular occupation for gay people as well as for heterosexuals. But I think actually if you talk with people who were involved in theater, dance, museum world in the post-war years, they would all say that a disproportionately large number of the people who were involved in those cultural institutions and scenes were gay. Why is that? It's really hard to answer that question. Clearly, it was in part because the other people in those scenes were more open to cultural diversity. They were very often themselves already bucking the tide by getting involved in the theater or dance, something that most parents were a little skittish about their kids getting involved with in the first place. Many of them were, even if they were heterosexual, were single or led highly itinerant lives, moving across the country with shows or companies. And so it was a world in which a lot of people lived outside of the nuclear family and were therefore probably more willing to accept gay people who were as well. There probably are also some ways in which some of the basic skills of life that gay people had to develop in the post-war years in order to survive in a society that was hostile to them fostered some of the skills that were useful in the arts. So, for instance, people had to be very careful about who knew that they were gay. It had to be highly secretive in many environments, but also, as a result, developed a highly sophisticated set of code words and an acute attentiveness to the possibility of double entendre in everyday speech and to something being communicated that wasn't being said explicitly. And that kind of sensitivity to language and that sense that one always had to perform a certain self in potentially hostile heterosexual settings, I think actually cultivated skills that were useful and prized in the cultural world.
You say post-war. Do you mean the years immediately after the war or the whole decades in between then and now? Has anything changed or is it just the same?
Well, I am referring primarily to the decades immediately following the Second World War. And I do think things have changed. It's probably still the case that a disproportionately large number of the people in a theater are gay compared to the population as a whole. Although it's clear that this has changed. I mean, I talk with gay men from the 50s and 60s, they talk about how people were so stigmatized. Say a boy was so stigmatized for going into dance. Now, I think what we know is that boys are still stigmatized for going into dance, but not as much as they used to be. And likewise, the theater. I think that as the culture as a whole has opened up and become more involved in this kind of culture and has become less anxious about homosexuality, that these sorts of barriers are not as strong as they used to be.
It sounds a great subject to research.
It's been utterly fascinating. And I have to say, the part we've been talking about is just a small part of this book, which is a much larger social and cultural history of gay New York in the 25 years after the Second World War. But really kind of unexpectedly, I was led to this because it came up again and again in my sources and interviews.